a valley are going through decision making, a valley of decisions. We have to decide this, and we're deciding that, and we're determining, you know, and deciding in our lives different things that are going on, and pressing towards different decisions. And in fact, every day in our lives, we all make decisions that affect our destiny and the course of our lives, what we're going to do next. Jim Rohn said, formula for failure is nothing more than a few errors in judgment repeated every day. However, a few simple disciplines practiced every day equal a whole new life. You know, and I've found at the end of the day, whether I do a good job or I don't do a good job, at the end of the day, my desire is to keep serving the Lord. So I just, you know, I've made a decision that God is that the Lord is God. I was just talking to someone about that today. It's like, you know, look, whatever decision you make, you know, make it and then live it out. Do it. Let it be who you are and continue to work at it. No, even if you're bad at it, continue to do it. If it's the decision you've made, if it's to do. And so, because I think oftentimes we waver in our decisions, we don't make a good decision, or just like Jim Rohn says here, we make little small critical errors during the day that, and we repeat them every day, and it just ends up being a bad thing. And if we'll correct a few things in our lives, get a few more disciplines in our lives, then suddenly our lives are completely different. And you know, I look back at when I first got saved and I turned my life over to the Lord 25 years ago. It was 86. So, however many years that is. And so when I turned my life over to the Lord, there was a lot of things I still did that were part of my old life in the process. As I was, you know, I didn't just abandon everything. I learned that I needed to abandon certain things and give certain things over to the Lord as time went on. But I continued to stay with it. I just continued to go and continue to go. And I see a lot of people in through those years that make decisions. They decide, oh, I'm gonna follow the Lord. Oh, this is a good thing. I'm gonna follow the Lord. And then a couple months later, or 6 months later, they're off doing the same thing they were doing before, and they've turned away from the Lord. And they're like, well, I tried that and it didn't work. Well, man, I feel bad for you, because it works if you work at it. If you just stay at it, if you just keep going. My life today is completely it's really different. It's completely different than what it was. And what's interesting to me is I can go back I know guys from back in the day. You know, I know guys from back when I was doing the things that I shouldn't be doing before I got saved. And I see some of those guys even today, and I see where they are, and I look at them and I go, wow, you know, I could have been down that same road because I was doing the same thing they're doing. And I've made a decision to make some changes in my life. I've made a decision to, and like I say, I'm not perfect, but I serve a perfect God. And so I keep coming back to the perfect God. And I've kind of tried to raise my kids that way, that you're not always going to be perfect, but we strive for the perfection in Christ. And then we get up every day, we dust ourselves off, and we keep plugging away at what God has put before us, because we've made a decision. The choices you and I make in our life are vitally important, because our destiny in life are determined by our choices and the decisions we make. We can either choose God, or we can choose the enemy or the devil. We can either choose life or choose death. It's our decision. But there is no middle ground. We cannot serve two masters. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 24, it says, no one can serve two masters, for you will hate one and love the other. You will You will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Now, here it's talking about God and money, but the same is true whether you put in some other God or the Lord himself. If you put in a variety, whatever it is that you, that has become your God in your life. If work becomes your God, you're in trouble. And you'll hate the other. You'll find reasons not to go. You'll make excuses. It's interesting to me when I talk to people and I know this is going to sound, I don't want this to sound bad at all, because I'm not speaking against one, against Muslims at all here, but there are oftentimes how people, the big thing today that you listen to people that defend the Muslim religion or Islam, the Islamic religion is that not everybody's like that. I mean, not every Muslim is a bad person. There are good Muslims. But when it comes to Christianity, we are still paying the price for the wars of, clear back in the Crusades. Well, how was that Christianity? I mean, I've actually gotten conversations with people that are mad at me about the Christian Crusades that happened in whatever that was, a billion years ago with King James or whatever his name was. And all those Christian, I'm like going, are you kidding me? And they're like, oh, well, Christianity, it's God is always starting wars. I look at them and go, really? It's all God's fault. I mean, it's God that decided to do all those things. And I'm not trying to defend one thing or the other, but people, God is a God of peace. God is a God of restoration. We get mixed up sometimes. God does defend himself, and he will. If you are on the wrong side, God will defend himself, okay? I don't look at all the battles that are fought and say, and try to make an opinion there. What I do is I say, okay, Lord, you made a way for me to have salvation and spend all of eternity with you, and that's where I'm at. I want to see God transform my life, change me to be a better person towards others. But I can't serve two gods. I can't serve money. I can't serve those other things and still serve God. I have to be devoted to God. Now, doesn't mean I can't have money. It just means I can't have money and not God. You know what I'm saying? I can't love and be in love with and desire those things above God. People who are challenged, or the people were challenged in God's word in Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19. He says, I call heaven and earth as a witness today against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and curses. Therefore, choose life, that both you and your descendants may live. You know, I've always loved this scripture because God places a choice in front of us. And he says, here's your decision. You can either choose life or you can choose death. You can choose blessings or you can choose curses. It's up to you. You get to make the call. If you follow me, blessings. If you choose me, I will give you life. I will give it to you more abundantly. If you choose the other choice, then you will get death and you will not get blessings from me. It's up to you. Now, does that mean that you'll live your life here on earth without worldly success? No. You might be very successful here on earth, but you're going to die in the worldly success and in the worldly manner and not in the things of God. Each one of us has to be willing to make a decision to live for God and to walk after him. In Joshua chapter 24, verse 15, Joshua said, and if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourself this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your father has served that were on the other side of the river, or the God of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Each one of us has to make a decision to turn our backs on evil and serve the Lord with our whole heart. And like I was saying earlier, is that for me, I made a decision on Easter Sunday, 1986. I made a decision. And the weird part about it is, it wasn't even one of my, now how do I put this? It wasn't even one of my more dynamic decisions. You know what I mean? I mean, there are things in my life where I've sat down and really thought them out and made a plan, set a goal, done all those things, thought it all the way through, counted the cost, did all that stuff, wrote them down, and never did them. You know what I mean? I mean, I worked all the way through a plan. Oh, I'm gonna just do this, and this is what I'm gonna do, and I'm gonna build this and do this and this and this, and I'm gonna work at this thing, and I'm gonna do this until this happens, and you know, and I think it all the way through and I count the costs, I do everything, and then I get down and then I decide, nah, I'm not gonna do it. And what's interesting is the decision that I made to serve the Lord was nothing like that. I didn't count the cost. I didn't even really think about it. I mean, I got asked to go to church by a guy, and it was and so I said, well, okay, in my own mind, I had put together this frisbee golf tournament on Easter that was going to happen in the afternoon, and I brought in a, because I was in the work release facility down at on Fifth Street there. And so the guards let me bring in a bunch of frisbees, you know, the Whammo frisbees. I brought in a bunch of those, and then I drew a course out using the light post in the courtyard or whatever out there, so you could throw, you know, and had lines and everything. And so I was putting on this big tournament, and this guy asked me to go to church with him on Sunday morning. Well, I was thinking more about that. But I told the guy, okay, I'll go, for whatever reason I said I would go. And I went to church, and I'm sitting in the church service, and the guard comes in, and he goes, okay, time's up. You guys got to close it out. And so the preacher goes, okay, just one second. And he goes, all right, does anyone here want to know the Lord? Want to know Jesus as their Savior? Just slip up your hand, and we'll pray with you. And I said, you know, yeah, I do. And I raised my hand, and I accepted the Lord. And it changed my life forever. And that one single decision to serve God, I just stayed with that thing. Even when I fall flat on my face in complete failure before Him, that I get up and go, okay, I'm going to serve you. And I just keep making that same decision over, that same little, and I've never really sat down to count the cost of what it would be, or what, I just made the decision that that's what I was going to do, that I'm just going to serve God, and whatever, wherever He takes me and wherever He leads me, I'm just going to go. I'm just going to do whatever he says to do, I'm just going to do. And that's how unconstructed we've lived our lives, my wife and I, for the last 10 years. It's just, okay, well, this is what we believe God wants us to do, so let's just go do it. Well, what are we going to do about this? Oh, I don't know. What are we going to do about this? How are we going to do this? How's this going to work out? How's that going to work out? I don't know. I remember the all my friends are leaving Bible college. I'm leaving Bible college. And we're all leaving Bible college. And they're all, where are you going? Where are you going? Where are you going? And all these people are going to these, you know, full-time youth pastor positions here, and this thing there, and big ministry there, and big thing. And they said, what are you going to do? And I said, well, we're going to go to Quincy, California. There's a little church up there, and they've asked me to be the youth pastor up there. There's about, I guess there was probably, 10,000? Oh, there was probably about, there might have been 70, 80 people in the church. You know, there was only about 5 kids in the youth group. And they want me to come up there and be the youth pastor. And We didn't have a job. I didn't have a job. My wife, the company she worked for had a little office up there. They said, oh, you can come up and work in the office up there. And so she went up and worked in the little office. And we bought a trailer that had been sitting out for literally like 10 years on this guy's property, just all, you know, he didn't have anywhere else to put it. So the guy had 25 acres and he said, oh, just go stuff it behind them trees over there. So they put it was a little 50 foot, 8 foot wide, 2 bedroom trailer, you know, with the most beautiful olive green, avocado green bathrooms and sinks and stuff. Oh man, it was ugly. And it was just this old, dilapidated, you know, built in 1940s trailer. You know, so we bought it for like $1,500 or something, and moved it down to this trailer park, and that was our house. My father-in-law came up and built 2 decks on it, one on the front and one off the back. And the decks were worth more than the trailer itself. And we lived in that thing and we loved it there, and we just served, and God met every one of our needs. You know, people would come by and bring us wood and stuff, and so that we could heat during the winter, and God just miraculously worked it out. When things are happening, we had some foster kids that suddenly moved in with us because of what we got paid from them, it helped a little. And then when we left there, we came back down here and we served here, and the Lord gave me a job in a place. And then when we moved to Montana, we moved there for $250, and we had 3 kids then, $250 a month in a house. That's what they gave us. And then we went and pastored there, and everywhere we've gone, God's just done the miraculous. And it's not no plan really. I mean, you know, like, oh yeah, we just serve. And that's all we've ever done. We just try to serve and just do the best we can with whatever God gives us to do. And when you just serve. And I wouldn't change my life for nothing. It's been awesome the whole time. And now all my kids love Jesus. And what's amazing to me is some of them want to be in ministry. And I'm like, and we've been broke our whole lives. And they're like, well, we want to do that too, Dad. Let's do that. I'm like, oh my goodness. Oh, children of faith now. But here, are we at a crossroads, or are you at a crossroads in your life? With the New Year's just a few days away, we need to determine in our hearts to put God first in everything that we do. We need to choose. Our choices will dictate the rest of our lives. You know, and as many mistakes and failures as I've made, and Sherry never makes a mistake, but as I've made, and she's just gone along with me, the Lord's made it. The Lord's got us through. You know, and sometimes you think, oh man, I remember, it was just like probably less than a year ago. We thought, we met these people and we thought, oh, this is a great idea. And we put some money into a business. And 2 weeks later, we realized, oh my goodness, what did we do? And I got on my face and just said, oh God, help us. I should not have done this thing. I should not. And God has miraculously turned that thing around. I mean, just flipped it all the way around. Within a week or two, he flipped it around on us and just made everything okay. And God's blessed us and continued to do that. So even in your, it will dictate the rest of your life when you make the final decision. This is how I'm going to do it. I'm just always going to get up in the morning and start fresh and new, because his mercies are new every morning. But if we'll put God first and his way first, we'll be making the right decision. I don't think you can go wrong serving God. You know, I look at the life of Mother Teresa, and some would say that was a life that wasn't very successful because she died with nothing. But to me, what a great life. She served. She blessed so many. You know, in my opening scripture, the last part of that verse says 1 Kings 18:21 says, but the people were completely silent. Some people refuse to make any choice because they're afraid of failing. But sometimes when a person doesn't make a choice, they're choosing already to fail. They're already making a decision to do nothing. And a decision to do nothing oftentimes is a bad decision. Sometimes no choice is a choice. It's said of the entrepreneur Henry Ford and J.C. Penney's failed many times before finally attaining success. And I love this. I love this one part. I actually highlighted it pretty good in my notes here. You see, it wasn't failure that dictated their future. I love that. It was not failure that dictated their future. No, their ultimate success was dictated by their decision, nothing can stop me, I will succeed. I will serve God. And see, that's kind of part of the point of what I'm trying to say is that in all the failures of my what I would consider my failures over the last 25 years, one thing, it wasn't the failures that determined my future. It wasn't my failures. It was my single decision that I would not deter from serving God, that I would not turn away from God, that I would stay with God even in my failures. I was successful because of my choice to serve God. And when you look at Henry Ford or J.C. Penney here and many other entrepreneurs that have been successful out there, many of them will tell you, I've tried this and I tried that and I failed at this and I failed at that. Abraham Lincoln, another great example of complete utter failure right up into a success. Other than the vampire slaying thing, apparently he did that really well. But the guy lost election after election, failed miserably in job after job, until he was what some people would consider one of the greatest presidents ever to serve this country. But what was determined in his mind is that he would succeed. The decision to succeed. Have you made a decision to succeed in the things of God? Have you decided that regardless of your failure, you will succeed in God, that you will push forward, that you will continue to be after Him? Therefore, we cannot allow our fears to make our decisions and paralyze us. We do not have to bounce from one crisis to another, wavering from one decision to another. We can be successful, but we will have to take a stand for God, stand firm in our decision to serve Him, and serve Him every day. Paul said in Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 through 16, "Brother, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do." You know, I love to stop right here and say, okay, Paul the apostle wrote 2/3 of the New Testament, probably the most familiar apostle to all of us in the church today, Paul the apostle, because he wrote so much, he was so involved, and he's saying this one thing I do. If you were in business doing something, whatever it was, if you were a professional roofer, okay, and the best roofer in the world was coming to town to share with you the one thing that made him successful as a roofer, if you wanted to be a successful roofer, you would probably go listen to the one thing he did. Now, Paul, if we want to be successful in our Christian walk, Paul says, there's one thing you got to do. This is the one thing I do that makes me successful at being a Christian. This one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, I reach forward towards those things which are ahead. I press towards the goal for the prize of the upward calling of God in Christ Jesus. That's what he did. He said, you know what? I have a really bad past, Paul said. But I don't look back at that. I have tried to start some churches and not done a very good job of them. I've tried to preach the gospel in some cities where they actually chased me 60 miles to another city and threw me out of that one too. I have tried and tried to serve people and share the gospel wherever I go, to the Gentiles. I've tried to spread the word of God wherever I go. But the one thing I do to remain successful in my quest to pursue God is I forget those things that are behind me. I forget those things which are behind me and I press toward Christ. I forget my past. I forget the mistakes I've made and I press towards Christ. Why? Because it's the answer. It's always been the answer. Looking backwards is not the answer. You will not find the answer in your past. You will only find it at the cross of Jesus and as you press towards Christ. That's the only place you'll find your answer. No matter how many times you slip, no matter how many times you fail, the answer is still in the same place. It lies in Jesus. And we got to press towards that. And then verse 15 says, therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this in mind. Keep this in your minds. If you're mature in the things of God, you've got to keep this in mind. Put the stuff behind you. And if any of you think otherwise, like remembering your past or dwelling in the past or dragging your little fanny through the sorrow of your failures will do you any good, God will reveal even this to you that's not the way to go. That's not the way to be successful. Thinking about the things that you used to do. The way to be successful is to think about the things God's called you to and to press towards those things. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already obtained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us be of the same mind. Wherever you're at right now, just stop right there. Stop looking backwards and start moving forward. What do you know about God right now? What do you know about Him right now? Because what you know about Him right now is what will get you to tomorrow. And keep looking forward towards Him. Learn more. Just keep going towards Him. Don't look back and go, man, oh man. I remember one time I was in Bible college and one of my professors was just, he got all fired up one time in class and he just started quoting whole sections of scripture all at once. Just, I mean, it was just like, and we were just like, whoa. And I mean, he just like 10 minutes of just nothing but one scripture after another that went together and just pummeled us all. We were just like, whoa. And I went up to him afterwards and I go, man, I wish someday that I will know the scriptures like you know the scriptures. And he, you know what he said to me? He looked at me and he said, oh, Tim. He goes, how I wish I was your age and could start all over and learn even more. And I thought to myself, wow, as much as he knew about the Bible, he realized that he wished he could have went back and done it better than he did that time. And I thought, and this guy was a powerful man of God. And I was like, wow. And it stirred in me, I've got to just keep putting the word in every day. I've just got to keep looking at it, keep trying to get it in me every single day. I've just got to put the word in me every day and just keep trying to crowd out all the other mess that's going on and just keep pressing towards the things of God. Have you been caught in an indecision because of fear? Remember, you don't have to make a decision alone. Turn to God. He will give you wisdom and strength to make every decision, whether large or small. James chapter 1, verse 5 says, if anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives liberally to all and without reproach, and it will be given to him. Ask God. He will help you. What are you going to do with your life spiritually? Are you going to be afraid to make decisions for God? Are you going to make decisions based on what people think? Or are you going to make decisions based on what God's word says? It is so important to get God's word in our heart and in our mind because God's word does not return void. Isaiah chapter 55, verse 10 and 11 say, as the rains come down and the snows from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth and make it bring forth the bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goes forth from your mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. God's word will prosper. If you'll get it in you, it will prosper. If you'll begin to speak God's word in your life, things will begin to change because his word will not return void in you. If you're ready to, if you've already been saved and have been hindered by in making spiritual progress, don't just sit there. Get up and begin doing something for God right now. God is waiting for us to get busy. And that's just what I was saying. Is where are you in your maturity with God? Where are you in your walk with God? Because let me just tell you, all of us that sit in this room had day one. We all did. We all had day one when we said, okay, God, we're going to accept you. And every one of us has been on this walk, this journey, from the very beginning. Every one of us. Some of us have been around for longer than we care to share, following God. And we still, and there, you know, I know people, not in this room, but I know people that have been serving God for 50 years and don't know nothing about God. They just wasted the last 50 years of their life not figuring out the one thing they should be figuring out. You're at a great place right now because you're at a place where God can do something with you if you'll just get up and say, okay, God, I don't know much, but I'm sure you'll show me. Because James chapter 1, verse 5 says, if I lack wisdom, you'll give it to me. So God, I don't have to know everything. I just have to know you. And if I'll just get up and start doing things for you and start serving you, you'll make a way. Listen, I am by far not the sharpest knife in the drawer. Not even close. In fact, I am absolutely amazed sometimes at what I share from the pulpit. Some of you should write it down. Because it is not wisdom from me. It's amazing what God will do if we will let God use us. Deuteronomy chapter 28 verse 8 says, the Lord will command the blessing on you and your storehouses, and will and in all to which you set your hand to, and he will bless you in the lands which the Lord your God has given you. God's going to bless you right where you are if you just stick your hand out, start touching stuff. You just start putting your hands on things, and God will start blessing you. Psalms 1 verses 1 through 3 says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but he delights in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the river of water, and bring forth its fruit in its season, whose leaves shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. When we follow the things of God, when we put the word of God into our lives, when we begin to establish the word every day in our lives, and here, listen, we're coming up on the first part of the year again. I don't know how many of you do a daily devotional. Actually, read your Bible every day. Now, if you've been my friend on Facebook, and you get on Facebook every day, okay, and every day you are faithful to go to my Facebook thing, I know you've read the Word every single day. Whether you know it or not, actually, if you've been doing it long enough, it's been almost 2 years, or maybe even over 2 years, where you've been able to read Scripture every single day for the last 2 years. And you know what? I honestly believe that there are people that don't go to church that are my friends that have more word in them than people that go to church every Sunday. They don't go to church, but they see my thing and it's usually and almost always very positive. You know, encouraging, keep the fight up, keep going, hang in there. God loves you, you know. It's a more of a fight, you know, more of a keep it, hang in there kind of thing. It's usually not very, it's almost, I don't think it's ever been negative. Now, I've had some bonus ones that might challenge you a little, but my devotional one in the morning is usually pretty uplifting, at least I hope. That's what I try to do. But, you know, I don't know if you do, but here we come, another year. Just start. Read one verse a day. Please. Don't say you're going to read the Bible in a year. Unless you're a really good worker, really, really, really super good reader, okay? And you feel like it's time for you to do the Bible in a year. But if you're a brand new Christian, okay, don't burden yourself with reading the whole Bible this year. This is what, slow down. Read the New Testament. Just start reading the New Testament. Don't put any pressure on yourself to read. Just every day get up and read something. Every day, starting in the New Testament. Just every day get up, start to read it. You can start in the book of John and then go through the letters. That's a great thing to do because the book of John is just a love book. So start there if you want to. Just one verse, two verses, a couple of verses. Don't put the pressure on you. But the one thing you want to do is get the discipline of every day reading the Word. Every day putting the Word into your life. Go get a devotional and read it every day. Just, you know, and don't get some crazy devotional that's this, you know, mammoth 14 pages long. Get something small. Couple of lines. It's going to take you 40 seconds to read it. Now, Pastor, are you saying that I shouldn't challenge myself to, listen, if you're at a place where you need to challenge yourself to do more, do more. But man, one thing, that have been around for a long time, how many times have we been to those? We used to go to camp every summer. It used to be a thing. Everyone went to camp. You know, oh, it's camp meeting time. We all go to camp and almost inevitably the guy would go, how many will tarry with me? Remember the old, who was it? Larry Lee. Larry Lee came out with that thing, can you tarry for 1 hour, about 15 years ago. And everybody was preaching, can you tarry for 1 hour? And everybody had these 6 o'clock prayer meetings and everybody was praying all the time, 1 hour a day. And I'm not against 6 o'clock prayer meeting, 6 a.m. prayer meetings. I'm not against any kind of prayer meeting whatsoever. I'm not saying that you shouldn't pray for an hour a day. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that I know a lot of people raised their hands and by the end of the 2 months were under so much conviction in their life because they just couldn't do it. They just couldn't maintain the discipline of doing it. And so that's why I've always said to people, look, do what you can. Don't overburden yourself. Put it somewhere where you're going to spend a couple of minutes every day and then read the Bible. When you first get up in the morning, put it on your bedstand. So when you roll out of bed, you just turn on the nightlight and you look over there, you read a couple of scriptures, you close it up, and you just begin to meditate on those scriptures as you go about getting ready for work. Spend time in the Word. It's crucial. It's huge. It's important. It will cause your life to prosper. Put your hand to something. Reach out and help others. Serve God in some capacity. Be a blessing to someone. Always look for, I talk about this all the time. Always look for opportunity to be a blessing. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 12 through 15 says, This service you do not only helps the needs of God's people, it also brings more thanks to God. It is a proof of your faith. Many people will praise God because you obey the good news of Christ. The gospel you say you believe, and because you freely share with them and with all others. When they pray, they will wish they could be with you because of the great grace that God has given you. Thanks be to God for his gifts that are too wonderful for words. There's a quote that I have in my office. But I kind of summarize it to do all the good you can to all the people you can as long as you can. Just do as much good as you possibly can. Just look for opportunity to be good. All the time. Somebody drops something at the store, be good. Pick it up. Give it back to them. See somebody struggling? Now, some of you can't do this. I get to do this. See, Bob gets to do this. You see somebody struggling to get something, reach up and grab it for them. I'm the kind of guy that doesn't have to call people over to get stuff off when they store it on the top shelf. I actually can reach up there and get it when it's out below. I can reach up there and grab a big box of it off of there, and then I usually restock it in the bottom. And then, I'm just saying, look for opportunities to do good. Look for places where you can be a blessing to people. Always find things to do there. Some of us are facing decisions in the natural realm right now, even now. And we'll have to allow God to lead us and guide us to the right decisions. It's going to take some extra time spent in prayer with God, and He will speak to our hearts. We must stay open to what God is leading us and guiding us through His Word, what He's leading us to do. Some people have already made up their minds, though, and God could be shouting at them, and they would never even hear it. The Bible tells us that we are not alone in our decisions. In fact, in Joel chapter 3, verse 14 says, "Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decisions, for the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decisions." Multitudes are in the valley of decision. Don't falter or waver between two opinions. Choose God. Choose God's will. Choose the things of God. Go with God. Do not do what God tells you to do. It's your decision, every one of us. Each day we decide whether we're going to serve God or we're going to serve the enemy, whether we're going to choose life, whether we're going to choose death. We decide. You're the one that gets to make the decision. I know that you'll get a lot of, and listen, if some of you are new coming to the Lord, you're going to have a lot of opinions from a lot of friends and family. They're going to tell you that, I remember when I first got saved, I called my dad, said, "Dad, he was the first person, may have been the first person that I called and told him that I gave my heart to Jesus." Called my dad up and said, "Dad, I gave my heart to Jesus. I decided to serve the Lord." And he goes, "Son, I knew you needed to make some changes in your life, but I'm not sure if that one was it." So I'm telling you, look, you're not always going to get positive feedback from the decisions you decide to make. Friends and family, they're going to try to, I remember when I used to try to quit drinking on my own before I got saved. I would be driving along in the car, and a friend of mine would just pop open a beer and hand it to me. And out of pure habit, I would just start drinking. Now, some of you are thinking, "Well, Pastor, you were driving. Why were you drinking and driving?" Well, that was normal. That was not an abnormal thing to drink and drive. But I'm just telling you, you got friends that don't want you to make changes, because when you make changes, they either have to make changes or leave you alone. I'm just saying that, look, when we make a decision that we're going to serve God, sometimes we have to make it. In fact, I know we have to make it all by ourselves. I can't make my decision to serve God whether my kids serve Him or not. They have to make that decision on their own. They have to decide I'm going to serve God or not serve God on their own. You know, I remember one of my sons, it was interesting because he was making some weird decisions and he was doing some things that he shouldn't have probably been doing, and he was acting like an idiot. And I told him one time, I said, "Look, here's the thing, the wonderful thing about you getting older and becoming your own man." And he goes, "What's that?" And I go, "You and I can really develop a great relationship as friends now, and as people that communicate with each other. I'll always be your dad. You'll always be my son. But I will always love you. No matter what you do, I'll always love you because you're my son. I'll always care about you and always love you. But I don't have to be your friend. And if you keep acting this ugly all the time, I'm not going to be your friend because I haven't got enough time in my life to spend with ugly people. So if you want to act ugly and be an idiot, then you won't be my friend. You'll still be my son, but you won't be my friend. And I'd like to be your friend as well." And for some reason it got to him. He just thought, "Wow, I need to be a little different. I need to not be such a jerk." And you know, I just say that it wasn't him. It was Daniel. No, it wasn't Daniel. One thing about Daniel is he's just too lovable. You know, I just, we have choices, people. We get to choose. Nobody gets to make you who you are. You get to choose who you are through God. You get to do that. You can let the ugly things of your past make you ugly. Or you can make the wonderful things of God make you wonderful. It's your choice. It's all of our choices. Don't waver between two decisions. Just decide what you want to be. And start being it every day. And I hate to say it, but if you want to be ugly, just go be ugly. Because you'll never be happy being ugly in a good place. But if you want to be full of the joy of the Lord, then hang out with people that are full of the joy of the Lord. And be happy. Be blessed with what you have. I mean, I think every one of you probably had something to eat for Christmas. Sat in front of some Christmas tree somewhere. Hey, we all got our underwear this year. Bless God. Praise Jesus. You know, there's certain things around Christmas time you just count on. New underwear. Woohoo! Hey, count your blessings. Be happy that God is in your life. And he's making dramatic changes that are very subtle. But just keep pressing forward. Let's pray. Lord, we just love you and we thank you. Thank you for this opportunity that we can just love you and give you praise. Thank you for the wonderful works that you're doing in our lives and continue to do, and that your faithfulness is better than our faithfulness. That your mercy is greater than our mercy, and that your grace is greater than our grace. And that we can come to you and humbly ask for your forgiveness, and we can move forward, forgetting those things which are behind us and pressing forward. We thank you for your grace and your mercy in our lives. Now, with every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're here today and you do not know Jesus as your personal Savior, you haven't asked him into your heart and life, we don't want to miss an opportunity to pray with you. If you drifted from your relationship in some way and you want to make sure you're right with the Lord, slip your hand up. We'd be happy to pray with you. Just slip your hand up. Amen. Amen. Lord, we just love you and we thank you. Thank you for every individual that came here this morning to hear your word. And Father, I pray that we will just make a decision that we're just going to serve you. Regardless of what's going on around us or the circumstances, that we ourselves choose to serve you and to follow after you. Stir us towards good works. Stir us towards the good things of God and the good things that you've laid out in your word. Let them become precious to us and continue to follow after them. God, we just give you praise. We give you glory. We thank you for the wonderful things that you're doing in our lives. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen.